What's in your ear? That's what we're going to look at this morning. What's in your ear? Right? See, we've been exploring over the past couple months and sort of just looking at this topic of how to defeat the giants in the land. And last month, I shared a message about one of the keys that God was showing me that is going to help us to access and leading, taking possession, actually taking possession of the land by defeating the giants. Like, that's the mandate on our lives, right? It's who we are. It's what we do. We're the ones who, he said, yes, you will walk into the promised land, and you will defeat the giants in the land as a house. It's what we do, right? And we looked at what was in your hand last month. And the truth is that you're already equipped to defeat every single giant that comes along your way. You're already equipped. The Lord wouldn't allow a giant to come your way if he wasn't going to equip you in advance to defeat that giant. Because he's a good God. He's a good father. He knows the positioning of the giants in the land and says, you can go in and take that one. And we looked at David and Goliath, right? Goliath, the most well-known giant in Scripture, right? He's over 9 feet tall. He's undeniably strong. Like, if you read about it, you see the weight of his armor was immense, right? And for him to be able to pick it up and the amount of metal and kinds of things that were in it, just phenomenal. And he's fearless, probably because of his size, right? He's not afraid of anybody or anything that's going to come against him. And he taunts and he mocks the Israelites day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. And he's not afraid. And then here we have David. What's in David's hand in the face of Goliath? We talked about three things. One, he had a knowledge of who God is, right? So he knew this is the God who led the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. This is the God who led his people into the promised land. This is the God who had them walk around Jericho and the walls came down. This is the God, right? On and on and on. He knows the testimonies, the history of his people. The second thing he had was testimonies about God's faithfulness to him, right? So he God was with him when he slayed the bear. God was with him when he slayed the giant or the lion. Right? He has that experience of the living God rescuing him from something that felt overwhelming or impossible to defeat. He was equipped to be able to defeat it because his living God walked with him. And then physically what's in his hand is he has a sling and he has some rocks, right? And it was more than enough to defeat Goliath. All David had to do was to apply a method of warfare that he had learned in the pasture in the battlefield. And the other thing we noted was that sometimes God will show you what's in your hand before you even encounter the giant, right? So David, he already had knowledge of God. He had the testimonies of God's faithfulness to him, and he had a sling and some rocks in his hand before he even knew there was a giant named Goliath. He didn't even know about Goliath. He's just bringing his brother some lunch, right? And he gets there, and he sees the encounter with this massive giant, and he sees the response of the Israelites. Right? Today we're going to look at another key is what's in your ear. And the significance of this is that faith comes from hearing. And so what are you listening to? What are the voices that go off in your mind as you encounter obstacles or things that feel overwhelming that are approaching you? Right? So David and Goliath, right? The men of Israel, they're hearing the taunts of Goliath day in and day out. And what's their response? It brings them to a place of fear. They look at the giant, they look at his size, they look at what he's saying, and they're not going back to the knowledge of God. They have the knowledge of God, right? But they don't go there. They go to a place of fear or a paralysis where they want to just run away because they feel like there's no way we could ever defeat this guy. But David, he comes on the scene and he hears the taunts of Goliath, and he brings the lies that Goliath is saying into alignment with the truth of the living God, and then he utilizes those very lies to propel him or to advance him, right, and the kingdom of God into the land of the living. And you guys know the end of the story, right? He had something different going off in his ear. When he heard the taunts of Goliath, he heard something different than all of the rest of the Israelites. So what's in your ear this morning? That's what we want to look at. And we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and the life of King Jehoshaphat. And this will probably be familiar to you if you've walked in church for a while. And we're going to go through most of the scripture. So just so you know, we're going to break it up into a couple pieces. But to start it off, before we read verses 1 to 4, when you're faced, think about you. Don't think about anybody else right now but you. When you're faced, because we all are faced at times with adversity or overwhelming circumstance. Is there anybody here who has never been faced with adversity or overwhelming circumstance? Raise your hand. Okay, I got one in the back. All right, so, right? No, just kidding. Right, we all are, right? And this week, you may be struck with another adversity that comes your way that you weren't planning for, right? It's not on your schedule. I would like to plan adversity on Wednesday, blah, 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 right? You know, it's not what we do. It just comes. It's going to come. And so what is your automatic go-to response? You're the only one who knows you. Maybe the ones who are in your sphere of influence, they know, oh, yeah, they always do that, right? But you, between you and the Lord, what is your automatic response when you get the bill in the mail, when you get the car crash, when you get the report that you have cancer? What is your automatic response in that moment between you and the Lord? And then we're going to look at King Jehoshaphat. It says in verses 1 to 4, it says, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. And messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the towns of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat's automatic response, his go-to response, is to seek the Lord whenever he's faced with adversity. And the only reason I know this is not from just this one account. Just the chapter before, in chapter 19, we're not going to look at it, but he has an opportunity to go off into a battle with Israel, them and Judah, and to go fight a nation. And all of the prophets of Israel are saying, yeah, go do it. We're going to have victory, victory, victory. And Jehoshaphat says, isn't there a prophet of the Lord in the land? He says to King Ahab, right? And King Ahab says, yeah, there's one guy, but he always says bad stuff. So we never want to listen to him. But Jehoshaphat, he pleads. He says, let's at least hear what this one prophet would have to say. So they bring the prophet in, and the prophet basically ultimately says, this is a bad idea. And all of your prophets have a lying spirit in them. And so don't ultimately go to war. Now, I don't know why, but King Jehoshaphat and King Ahab still decide to go to war, right? So they sort of ignored what the prophet of the Lord said. They go to war, and in the process, King Ahab is killed. Jehoshaphat gets to escape, and now we have another circumstance, a chapter later, right, where he's faced with another overwhelming army that's coming his way. And his response, his automatic response is, what does the Lord have to say about this? Okay? Verses 5 to 12. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah of Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and in it have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and save. See now, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So he reminds himself, in the face of all the people that are gathered of Judah, he reminds them who God is. Who is this God that we worship? What is the testimony of the living God to our people from generation to generation to generation? And the thing that he knows is he has no idea what to do in the face of this adversity that's coming. The odds are so overwhelming against Judah that they will have any success in fighting this battle. Right? It just seems ludicrous that they, Judah, this smaller nation, is going to come against these three nations that are coming against them. And these are three nations that God ultimately told the Israelites, don't go and attack those people when they were coming out of Egypt. Right? These are not people that you're going to mess with. You're just going to let those guys be. And now here they come and they're invading. And Jehoshaphat says, I don't know what to do, but I do know this. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And he locks his eyes on the living God and says, God will show us what to do. Right? Verse 13 to 19, it says this. It says, meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with the little ones, their wives and their children. I love that. So every person who's a part of Judah is dependent upon the Lord coming to the rescue. And here's Jehoshaphat, the king. He's standing in the gap ultimately and saying, everybody's looking at him and he's looking at the Lord. And he's leading the people to say, hey, let's not take our eyes off the living God. He will show us what to do in the face of this adversity. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, in the middle of the assembly. He said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, and they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jarel. This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So the Spirit of the Lord comes on Jahaziel, right? He hears, he's a prophet, he gets the word, and he declares it to the people. The battle is not for you to fight. You just take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. That's a powerful word. In the face of a huge army that's coming against you, it might be hard to receive that word. Think about it, right? It's the word of the Lord, and the response you see with Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah is that they humble themselves in worship before the living God, and then they declare praise. As they receive the word of God that this is what the Lord says to do in the face of this adversity, they receive it with a heart of worship in humility, right? They bow down and then they exalt into praise. And so they host the word of the living God that he gave them in the face of this opposition. It's powerful to me. The next day, what happens? So verse 20, and we'll go down to 25. It says, they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets. When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in his holy splendor. And they went before the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the Ammonites and Moab attacked the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, I don't know what that is, but the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. That's a mighty battle right there, right? So even the last two, all right, I got you, boom, boom, they're dead. not one living soul in this valley. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the booty from them, they found livestock in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They spent 3 days taking the booty because of its abundance. And we'll stop there, right? Jehoshaphat and his army just have to show up. That's all they had to do. And there's so much plunder, it takes them 3 days to gather it all before they head back to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Right? It's uncanny in the sense of this is the battle strategy. Nowhere in the passage does it say that they were supposed to go worship ahead of the army and all that kind of thing, right? It's not listed there that this was the battle strategy. But when they worship, they start to worship, then all of this onslaught happens between these three nations. And they just show up and it's all taken care of. So Jahaziel was hearing correctly that day. That's a good thing, right? What if he heard wrong, right? What's in your ear? That's really the question. Now let's bring it to today. What are the battles you're currently facing right now? So some of you are facing health battles, right? You have physical ailments, things that are going on in your body. Maybe it just happened, just started. Maybe you've been wrestling with it for years, right? You might be in that category. Maybe you have financial difficulties as you sit here this morning, and you really don't know how you're going to pay your bills this month, right? Maybe you have relational difficulty. Maybe your marriage is struggling right now. Maybe your relationship with your children is struggling right now, or your relationship with your parents is struggling right now, or with your neighbors or your coworkers, right? There's some relational tension. You just don't know what to do in the face of this battle, or your job situation, or maybe identity issues, right? You're wrestling. Am I really a son of the living God? Am I really a mighty warrior? Am I really a co-heir with Christ? And you go back and forth because you don't feel like it at times, right? Maybe there's a place of wrestling or a battle there. Or maybe it's your past and those things that the enemy digs up and says, ah, remember this, right? And you allow it to sort of sit there like this black cloud that hangs over you, right? Maybe that's the battle that you're facing. Or maybe it's shame issues, right? Stuff from your past that you realize you've never let go of the shame, that just haunts you and walks with you. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. But you know you, and maybe you got like six of these things, right? There's all these battles going on as you look at your life right now. And the reality is, like Jehoshaphat, have you made a resolution to seek the Lord? Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do in the face of these armies coming, but he did know this: I'm supposed to seek the Lord whenever I don't know what to do, right? It was his automatic response. Are you convinced that God knows about every single battle? And then on top of that, are you convinced he cares? And that's not a rhetorical question. Because different ones of us are at different places in that continuum, right? We may be well aware. God knows everything, right? So he's well aware of this battle, but it sure doesn't feel like he cares about me right now because of how it's going, right? Or maybe you're past that and you know God always cares about you. That's the truth. He's well aware of every single nuance of each battle you're facing. And he also is deeply in love with you. And he's a good, good father who knows exactly how to navigate you through this situation. Specifically, what does he say about this battle? I think often we try to lump our battles together and life feels overwhelming. But I felt like the God was saying today, encourage the people to separate the battles they're facing today. Really try to narrow it out. So don't just lump your finances in with your marriage and with your whatever, right? Your job situation, right? Separate it out. What's this battle? What's this battle? Because God might have something different to say about each battle. Does that make sense? He's real specific. And he doesn't usually have us fight the same way in any circumstance. It always seems different, the strategy that he gives us. And we could talk about that. It's another sermon. But is it like Goliath where you need to actually physically fight? Or is it like with Jehoshaphat that you just need to show up and watch the salvation of the Lord on your behalf? Yeah, we like those ones, right? Yeah. Yeah, both. Neither are easy, I think. Because when he says, go fight, you have to wrestle. Am I really equipped? Do I believe that I'm equipped and I have what I have? And when he says, go do nothing, just watch. But I want to be in control. I have to have some control in this thing, right? That's my struggle right there. So to be honest. So I don't think one's easier than the other in the sense of you might get less bloody. But remember this. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? And where does Jesus live if you're a believer? He lives right inside of you, right? So the Prince of Peace lives in you. So 24/7, the fullness of peace lives inside of you. You may not be fully aware of that, but it's true. The fullness of peace, all the peace you could ever imagine, want, or desire lives inside you already. That's truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So whether you're supposed to fight like David, or we're supposed to stand and watch like Jehoshaphat, you're meant to face the battle from a place of peace. And if you're not, as you look at the battles you're currently facing, I felt like the Lord said just to encourage them to ask me, ask Jesus for a greater revelation of who he is in you. It's not a hard prayer, right? I'll repeat it again. Jesus, would you give me a greater revelation of you as the Prince of Peace that lives inside of me? And just pray that prayer. And then watch. See what he does. If you don't feel any lifting of any anxiety or tension that's inside of you, pray it again. And watch. Stay in that place until you feel and experience the breakthrough of the peace resting on you. He's a good God. Right? He wouldn't come live in you and then not give you access to who he is. That's really messed up, right? He wants you to experience the fullness of peace in everything that you face. That's why he came to live inside of you. And then you're supposed to release that to other people. But if it's a battle you're supposed to fight, you've already been equipped. I'll say it again. If it's a battle he's going to fight for you, you just need to show up and do anything that he tells you to do. Right? He might have you blow a trumpet. I don't know. He might have you sing a song. Do a little dance, right? Dance on that snake, right? You just, who knows? If you're obedient to do what he says to do, usually it goes well for you. That's my experience. The enemy is afraid of us, you and me, walking in confidence as sons and daughters who know the voice of our Father. He's terrified of you actually getting this message and really owning it. And so he's going to do anything that he can to convince us otherwise. And for some of us, he tries to tell you that you just can't hear the voice of the Lord. You know, all those other believers, they can hear the voice of the Lord, but you, not you. You don't measure up, right? That's a lie. For some, he tries to tell you that you're not good at hearing the voice of the Lord. Yeah, Pastor Ken, man, he is so good at hearing the voice of the Lord. No matter what's going on in his life, he can hear just like that. Just has to take 2 seconds, boom, he knows exactly what to do, right? I'm not like that, right? We go through that. We compare, and the reality is that that's not true either, right? Others, he blasts you with so much fear at the face of what you're looking at that you also might hear wrong. You're like, I don't know. What if I hear wrong? What if I'm like Jehaziel, but I didn't get it right, and I said, go stand there, and then I was supposed to fight, right? That's messed up. And so what it does, when we go on this sort of teeter-totter, it brings us to a place of paralysis that we don't even know how to move forward. We get stuck, or we try to run away, right? And they're all lies of the enemy, and the truth is that you were created to hear and know his voice. It's part of who you are. It's how he created you. In John 10, chapters or verses 2 to 4, right, that whole context, it says, his sheep know his voice. And you're the sheep of this living God, and you were created to know his voice. You know his voice. And this is the thing that I'm learning, is that as a son or daughter of the living God, I was created to hear his voice, but also he knows us. He knows you so intimately. He knows you. He's more than able to communicate with you in a manner that you can hear. Like, we think I got to hear it this way, and so I got to figure out how do I do this. I feel like all of it's on me. And the reality is he's doing so much on his behalf because he wants you to hear what he has to say. He will show you a picture. He will give you a word. He will speak audibly to you. He will bring someone to you, right? He will do whatever it takes so that you can hear accurately what you're supposed to do in the situation you're facing. He's a good God, right? That's the truth. And so we're going to make a declaration, and I'll say it once, and then we're just going to, why don't we stand? Can you guys stand for a second? And then we'll sit back down, but stand real quick. Again, don't say it unless you believe it. And it's okay if you don't believe it today as you sit here, right? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, right? So just so you know that. The declaration is this. I was created to hear my heavenly Father's voice, and I hear it well. Okay, so let's say that together. We'll do it three times. I was created to hear my heavenly Father's voice, and I hear it well. Two. I was created to hear my heavenly Father's voice, and I hear it well. Last time. I was created to hear my heavenly Father's voice, and I hear it well. Amen. Okay, you guys can have a seat. The reality of this message is that the battles are real. And so you're facing personal battles right now, and also as a house, we're facing battles. And we're going to look at two of those because, you know, it is real. And the first battle, I should have you guys do this first. Why don't you, if you're sitting far away from people, I want you to partner up with somebody right now, because we're gonna have 2 minutes of prayer, one for each of these battles. So partner, just go sit next to somebody. Don't get scared. It's not going to hurt. Okay? Even if you're a visitor, you know, we're calling you family today. So thank you for being here. And you're actually here because you're meant to advance the kingdom on our behalf. That's part of what's going on. All right? Has everybody got a partner? If you need to have a threesome, that's okay. But all right. First battle. We have one of our beloved, Norbert Osterholt. And if you're from our family, you know that he had a stroke the week of the fire. And he still is not awake. So now we're going on 6 weeks or so, right? Maybe a little longer. Oh, yeah, seven. Okay, going on 8 weeks. And so the reality is we've been contending and contending. But we know the truth that this stroke is not from God. This is an injustice that's coming against our brother and our friend. And he's meant to have complete restoration and healing out of this because Jesus is the healer. Right? It's time to wake up. And so this is one of those battles that I believe when I go to the Lord, he says, you need to fight. That as sons and daughters, it's not like we need to just sweat and bleed and all that, but it's a battle to fight. It's a battle to actually say, I'm going to pick up my weapons and I'm going to go after the enemy who's trying to rob my brother of his life. And the good news is that all of the scans that they keep taking of Norbert's brain is it looks amazing. Like he's doing well. His EKGs look good, right? They've had him on these seizure medications. They've been reducing medications, and he hasn't had a seizure since they started the reduction process. There's some good signs of life, ultimately, going on for Norbert. There's a little bit of hope, but he hasn't woken up, and until he wakes up, we really don't know the full ramification of the stroke, right? And so we're contending for that. And so it's a battle to fight, though. That's what I'm emphasizing. We're going to take a minute right now. And just with your prayer partner right there, just we're going to spend a minute. Just pray for Norbert's life, okay? Let's go for it. Go. Yeah, Jesus, we just lift up Norbert to you this morning. And we release the goodness of God to him as he sits there in his hospital bed today. And we command the full restoration of his life. And even better than he was before he had the stroke, right? We're asking for a full repayment of restitution for any of the ailments or limitations that he had experienced prior to this. And we just command him to wake up in Jesus' name. We say, come forth, just like Lazarus, would you come forth? Wake up. Fullness of abundant life for Norbert. And then we also just release strength to our sister Terry, as she walks with her husband in this. And we just thank you for the joy that she hosts, that is her strength as she navigates through. And would you give her a greater measure of your peace? We just ask for a fresh revelation of peace from that Prince of Peace that lives inside of her today, and that she would feel supported and buoyed by you. Holy Spirit, just touch her afresh today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, stay where you're at. We got one more battle. So battle number two. And the reality is this. So we already shared again this morning, Pastor Ken is not going to be with us for a period of time. And he has led worship here for years. and so the goodness of God on this house is that we have Costas, amazing drummer. We have Lizzie, vocalist. We have Michelle, who's a vocalist. We have Judah, who's our bass player. That's who we have, right? And the enemy would want, yeah, David, you know, he doesn't sing very much, but he is a good guy up there in the sound booth. Yeah, Paul's telling me. But the reality, and he is, if you want to work in sound, we need your help, just so you know. So if anybody wants to be a sound apprentice, we could really use you, just so you know. We don't want to use you, but we would love you. We would love to use you. No, just kidding. The reality is this. Paul, you threw me off, man. The reality is this. The enemy wants us to think that this is an overwhelming battle. And for someone like me who has no musical inclination, and I think, how are we going to handle, what are we going to do with this? Where are we going to gather people who are going to come and help us lead worth it? The enemy like shoots the fear level, right? And what God says about this battle, as I've asked him about it, he says it's like Jehoshaphat, is we don't have to worry about this battle. We just got to stand and watch and be prepared to be amazed at what he does and how he supplies. Because he wouldn't take Pastor Ken, right? Out of the goodness of God, he just wouldn't do that. Pastor Ken's hearing the voice of the living God. He's saying, go, right? It doesn't make all sense, but it's what you heard. So you're going, and we're going to bless that. And we're trusting that he wouldn't do that unless he was going to supply those resources that we needed to cover while you're gone, right? And that whole sense. And so, right, it's the goodness of God. And so the part of sharing it in the front of the congregation is it feels like many of us will come and we'll say, wait, what's worship going to be like today? Because we're going to have multiple different musicians who are coming in. Kathy Hicks here this morning. She's going to be here a couple times a month for at least a couple months, right? Your team that was with you today, amazing, you guys, right? It's phenomenal. Thank you. This young lady over here, Amber Nylands, nobody knows her, but I do. But she's going to be here a couple times this month and helping us with worship, right? So there's a number of people that we're just listening. God, who should we ask? And then we're going to see what he does. And who knows? These are all connections that it's amazing to see the connections over the years. People know Kathy, right, from years ago. I know Amber for I don't know how many years, probably 15 years, something crazy like that, right? But for whatever reason, within the past 2 years, God has brought Amber back into our mix, right? For such a time as this. Anyway, it's just interesting to see what he's going to do. And to sort of, I think when we're all said and done, we're going to look back and say, wow, God, how did you do that? Amazing. And yet, as we go through it, it's not going to be what we've known. And the enemy will try to poke at us and say, yeah, I don't know. It's not like Pastor Ken, right? And yet the reality is, God is inviting us into a continual place of hosting his presence so that we can advance his kingdom in the land, just so you know. So we're on this journey, but I don't think it's a battle we need to be fearful about. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm over time, but let's just finish with this. Again, this morning, what's in your ear? The word of the Lord came to Jahaziel, and he said to the people of Judah, listen. That was the first thing he said. He said, listen. And this week, I encourage you to take every battle that you're facing to the Lord and just listen. Just listen. The Holy Spirit's going to show you which battles that you need to fight and which you just need to watch. And Jesus is always with you. He will never forsake you, right? We know that. He's well aware of every battle that you're facing. And exactly what you need in the midst of it. He knows exactly what you need. What you need as you face a battle may not be the same thing that I needed as I face a battle. He knows you so intimately, right? And he's always good. We sang about it tons this morning. He is always good. And he's always for you. And the last thing I'll share is just, again, reiterating, he delights in you. He delights in you. Fill in your name. He delights in you. He knows every single thing about you, and he delights in you. He loves you. Let's close with prayer. Jesus, you're so good. And I thank you that that you do never leave us or forsake us. And that you are well aware of every battle that stands before us, whether we're currently facing it or it's going to be right around the next corner, that we're already equipped to handle every single one that we're supposed to fight. And that we're well equipped with being able to hear your voice, because you created us to hear your voice. We declared it today that we hear it well. And so I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to bring us into a season that the battles that used to wreck us are no longer going to wreck us. Because we're going to walk just like Jehoshaphat. Where we face the battle, we go right to you. Seek the Lord. What do you have to say about this? And then we simply do what you call us to do. Just like David, we go back to who's our God? What's my testimony of him for me? And then what's in my hand? And today we're going to add to that. What's in my ear? What does he say about this battle? What's the specifics of how I'm supposed to face it? Right? And then we just trust you to share, Father. Again, thank you that you know each of us so intimately that you can share exactly how you know we will be able to hear it. We trust you with that. And then obviously, I just want to close it, Holy Spirit, just that sense of the Prince of Peace that lives in us. I pray that you would just wreck us with peace as a people who host so much of your peace because you live inside of us, the Prince of Peace, that people would be amazed who stand outside our circumstances and they would look, how do they walk through the things that they walk through with such a level of peace? And no anxiety. It's amazing. And that's you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would seal that work today that you're doing. We give you all the glory and honor. We worship you. We humbly bow before you today. And we worship you and we give you thanks and praise because you are good. And thank you that you are taking this land. You're advancing your kingdom in the land and that you're calling us into partnership. Thanks, like Abraham, you call us your friend. And I pray that you would continue to lead us in that journey of what does it truly look like to walk as a friend of God? Yeah. And so we just ask that you would seal the work that you've done here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.